y'all may not know this, but Pastor Randy does he teaches a short class to some of the pastors and directors here on staff to teach them how to speak in front of people. And, I mean, I think we can all agree that he's pretty good at speaking in front of people, right? Yeah. So he teaches this little class, and we meet every Tuesday morning. And during one of those little classroom times that we had, 2 or 3 weeks ago, he asked us, he said, "What has the Lord been speaking to you here lately? What word has he kind of placed in front of you that you feel like you need to walk into or do better at? Or maybe it's something that you've done, but you need to undo. Whatever the case may be, what is God speaking to you in this moment right now?" And they went all the way around the room and skipped over me because I was sitting there like. And I was the very last one, and Pastor Randy looked at me as only a father could do. I was like. And I have a lot of respect for when, if I say, "I feel like Jesus told me," it's a big deal. And so I told everybody in the room, was like, "I honestly don't know. I don't know. I feel like there's so much noise in my life right now. I feel like I've been going through this time where everything's just coming at from one way and another, and I feel a little overwhelmed, and so I don't have anything for you." I have a little theory that I came up with this year in 2024. How many of y'all know that Mondays are like, if there's something that's gonna go wrong, it's gonna happen on a Monday? And usually Monday morning, and that thing is usually big enough that it takes you the rest of the week to actually fix it, right? And then you're behind from there. It's just like Monday is like the day. If it's gonna go wrong, it's gonna go wrong on a Monday. I have a theory after this year that January is just a month of Mondays. So, we're going to be talking about that a little bit today. And I'm going to be honest with you guys, as you're probably not going to be entertained. Probably not going to happen. But what I am going to do is I'm going to speak to you from my heart. Because genuinely, that's all that I have. My prayer today is that you see love in the storm that you're in, and that you find Christ in the process of the suffering. So I want you to know today, you are not alone. You are not forgotten. There is more on the other side. And yes, it is hard. Some of you guys are like, "Oh man, I feel like I'm on top of the world right now." My grandpa, he pastored a church in Utah. He had a lady come up to him after he got finished preaching. The lady told him, said, "Pastor, I just feel like I'm on top of the world." My grandpa, he's kind of a smart aleck. He said, "Well, hang on, lady. It turns over every 24 hours." He was an old cowboy too. I liked him. Whenever you stub your toe, that's the most important body part that you have at that moment. You don't think about your ears, your nose, your eyes, your hair. You don't think about all those other things. But whenever you're going through that trial, whenever you stub your toe, man, it's consuming. It's consuming. So I challenge you to think back to that time whenever you stubbed your toe, whenever you were going through a trial. I want you to dig deep into what those emotions were and how you felt in that moment. Because I would challenge you that an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And I don't want you to have to go to the hospital by ambulance. I would rather go by decision so that we're prepared for the future. So if you feel like you've been walking around with rainbows and unicorns and butterflies following you everywhere you go, hang on, take some notes because you might need them on the way back. So when I was thinking about the turmoil, I recognize two areas that create that feeling in humanity. The lack of understanding and the lack of purpose. So let's look at those. Let's look at the lack of understanding. Did you know that your level of understanding of a thing is directly correlated with your comfort level? So let's put it in cowboy terms. If you have a young horse, they're called green. If you have a green horse and you want to get them seasoned, what you do is you take that horse to a new arena that he's never been to. And when you go into that new arena dragging this young horse, he's going to be looking at everything. He's going to be looking. If somebody walks by him with the wrong color shirt on, he might kick him. You don't know. He might be boogering at the signs on the side of the fence. A little piece of trash goes by and he starts bucking. What you're doing is you're putting him into a new environment so that you can season that horse. And once that horse gains understanding of his environment, he will find peace. And by the end of the day, you'll look over there and he'll be able to half asleep. Why? Because he gained an understanding of his surroundings. Why do you walk around in a dark room really slow? Because you don't really know what's there. You think you do, but you don't really know because you can't see it. Now, you may be able to do that in your own home, right? But why can you walk around in the dark in your own home? Because you know what's there. You have an understanding of your own home. Let's kick it up a notch. Let's say that you're pumping gas at the gas station. A group of guys run up, grab you, throw you in a van, blindfold you, and take off driving down the road. I don't know about y'all, but the first thing I'd ask is like, who are you? Why are you doing this? Where are we going? I would have a lot of questions, right? The reason that I would be asking all of those questions is because I would be trying to gain an understanding of what's going on. Because once I gain understanding, it brings me peace. Oh, it was just a group of my friends playing a joke on me. That's a little different. Once you gain understanding, it brings comfort. Look at our lack of purpose. Lack of understanding, lack of purpose. Here are a few quotes kind of for context. Rick Warren wrote in The Purpose-Driven Life, "Without a purpose, life is motion without meaning, activity without direction, and events without reason. Without a purpose, life is trivial, petty, and pointless." Mark Twain said, "The two most important days in life are the day you were born and the day that you discover the reason why." The person without a purpose is like a ship without a rudder, Thomas Carlyle. And admittedly, less known philosopher also said, "Why would humanity search for the meaning of life if not to gain a purpose by it?" Caleb Weaver. Purpose is the great motivator of humanity. And without purpose, the movements of life become stale and colorless. Hence the struggle for the discovery of purpose. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalm chapter 3. What What we're looking at right here in Psalm chapter 3, this is a psalm that was written by King David whenever he was fleeing from his son Absalom. Absalom was trying to overthrow King David. And in the midst of that turmoil, in that moment when he was running and trying to get away, he wrote this psalm. And when I read this in my devotions a couple weeks ago, it kind of flicked me on the forehead. Said, hey, I'm not the only one. Maybe some of us can relate to this as well. Psalm chapter 3, verse 1, it says, Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill. I lay down and slept, and I awoke. The Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O Lord. For you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone. You have broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing is upon your people. Now, when I first read this, I looked at it and read it. I was like, yeah, he's fleeing from Absalom. I bet he's got a bunch of dudes looking for him. A really external perspective. It says, Lord, how they increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. I was like, man, I feel that. Work has been nuts. Got people coming at me from every direction. I got to set up this meeting. I got to get ready for this new idea. I got to make sure that this happens. I got to make sure that I'm meeting the people, meeting the needs of the people that I'm supposed to meet the needs for. These new ideas that are coming up, how are we going to structure this to make it work and to make it happen? My home life, there's lots of stuff going on there. How many of y'all got little household chores and honeydew fixes that need to be done at the house? Some of them may be a little bit outstanding. Anybody else here, please? Oh, good. Oh, good. I got to confess something to you guys. So, Christmas lights, okay? So, I put the Christmas lights up on my house the exact same way that I did last year. I mean, to the T. Like, nothing changed. Where I plugged them in at, how I ran them along the house, how many light strands were plugged into each outlet, all that stuff. Plugged it in the exact same way, and I still managed to catch my house on fire this year. Yeah, I had like 3 full blast fire trucks like show up at my house, a couple ambulances, the fire marshal showed up to make sure I wasn't the one trying to burn my own house down. They jumped up there, chopped a hole in my roof to make sure the fire got out. Not only did they chop a hole in the roof, but they also went inside, and lo and behold, there's no attic space beneath where the fire was, so they had to bust a hole in the sheetrock of the ceiling so they could get up underneath there, make sure it was out. It's fantastic. The Lord protected us. Like, man, it could have been so much worse, so much worse. Got the roof fixed, but guess about the hole in the sheetrock in that room. It's still there. These little things that need to be done. I got some rocks around some pine trees in my front yard that I've been meaning to rip out for like a year now. And every time I pull home, I'm like, still got that to do. Still got to get the sheetrock fixed. Still got to get the walkway around the back porch fixed up. All the stuff at the house. And then the personal life. I mean, exercise is important to me, and I have not been doing that enough. What about my spiritual and mental growth? What about my education? How in the world am I going to get all of these little things done? How am I going to do it? I don't know. I don't know because I don't have the understanding. We have a lack of understanding. We look at this scripture from an internal perspective. Yes, all this stuff on the outside looks like it needs to get done. All these things that need to happen, there's cattywampus and sideways, but what about the stuff on the inside? Lord, how they increased who have troubled me. Many are they who rise up against me. I don't know about y'all, but this is a bag of cats up here. Many are they who rise up against me on a daily basis that are trying to ruin the thought life that I have inside my head. Many are they who are trying to persecute me inside my own mind. I am my own worst enemy. I promise you that. In my work life, am I working hard enough? Am I working too hard? Am I meeting the needs of the people that I'm supposed to meet? Am I having good ideas on how to execute this thing or meet with this people? Or am I having God ideas and God meetings? My home life. What kind of idiot catches their house on fire with Christmas lights? Make me feel like a dunce out there in my basketball shorts with a 3/8 inch garden hose trying to pray down the fiery pits of hell when the firefighters show up. Man, I felt dumb. What kind of man leaves these little projects undone? Some of you guys, y'all are feeling a little bit better about yourself and your list, but let me tell you, we're not going to leave them there, okay? Wives, you can leave your elbows tucked in for just a minute. What about our personal life where we feel too overwhelmed to take care of my mind, my body, and my spirit? And then I ask myself, why do I need to even try anymore? Why continue to try? Lack of purpose. You see, if we examine these pain points in our life, the only way that we can gain any understanding is by finding out the purpose. You see, we live in a knowledge age. How many of y'all have a literal computer that talks to satellites in space in your pocket right now? Oh yeah. We all have a cell phone, right? This ain't 1990. We don't have bag phones. We have cell phones that literally fit in your pocket that you can find. You can get on the Google machine and ask questions out of the cloud, and it'll pull it back down to you, and you can find out anything on that sucker. We live in an age where we have instant access to so much knowledge. So much knowledge. And don't even get me started on YouTube. Man, those guys could hand out diplomas like tomorrow if they wanted to. You see, we cope with the fear of the unknown by pursuing more knowledge. But I would submit that we search for knowledge to escape the pain and check out before we gain the revelation of understanding. In this unlimited access age of knowledge, our understanding is at an all-time low. You see, knowledge and understanding are two wildly different things. Understanding is the intimate knowledge of the inner workings and the components of something. Let's say you're a high roller and you got yourself a Rolex watch. You may know that there's gears and pins and springs and stuff inside of that thing, but I guarantee you if one of those pins, springs, or gears flops out of that Rolex watch, if you don't have an intimate knowledge, an understanding of that thing, you will not be able to fix it. Because you may have knowledge, but do you have understanding? You have knowledge of the trial that you're going through, but do you have understanding? Do you have knowledge of your spouse? But no understanding. You have knowledge of Jesus. Show up to church, baby. I'm in a life group. I read my Bible. But do we have understanding? So I'll ask you what I asked myself. Where am I lacking understanding and relying on the bold-faced arrogance of my knowledge? You see, change is produced in the time of pressing. Our pursuit of comfort drives us to get away from the pressure that is creating the diamond, and we wind up walking through our life as a chunk of coal. We throw ourselves out of the refining fire by Googling the recipe for success. We sprinkle a self-help book and a scripture on top of our problem, claim it as a solution, slap a Band-Aid on it, and walk down the road. The pain points of our life are the very things that motivate us to go from the realm of knowledge to the realm of understanding. So I would ask you today, where are you clinging to the knowledge as the solution instead of sitting with the pain that brings understanding? You think that you know the answer. What hill are you willing to die on in your life saying, I know this is the solution? If you bypassed understanding because of the surface knowledge that you gained, and that solution stunted your growth, I challenge that your solution has become your God. If you are so married to the solution that you can't let it go, it has become your God. The other two services didn't get that one. What if we had the courage to sit with our pain, to gain a revelation of understanding that is only revealed through the process of following Jesus? Sitting with your pain will birth the gift of understanding. But then, and only then, a purpose that is greater than your pain. So let's talk about purpose. What is it? Some of us might be here today and be like, hey, I felt a quickening in my spirit. I felt this tug on my heart. I feel this burden that's breaking my back, but I can't put a name on it. I can't put a finger on it. It's just right there, but I don't know what it is. Here's what I can tell you. He will press areas of your life for three different reasons. One, to get you to change the direction that you're already going. There might need to be a course correction. Still going the right way, we just need to aim it a little farther over. To prepare you for the future. Because contrary to popular belief, you are not ready for what's coming ahead of you. So the only way you're going to do that is by getting ready. And surprise, that's called life, and it's hard. So it takes hard people to create those peaceful times. Oh, my goodness, I'm going to get way off base if I don't get back into it. The last thing that he'll do is to get you off your butt. He will press you to get you to change direction, to prepare you for the future, to get you off your butt. And the thing is, I don't have a solution. I don't have the answer for your purpose. But I know who can. I know who can give you that answer. You see, whenever a refining fire is built, it's built for the purpose of taking the impurities out of something. Let's say we're going to refine gold. First of all, they'll light a fire. Guess what? That fire's hot. It burns. They're going to light the fire, then they're going to melt the gold. And when they melt the gold, the impurities will rise to the surface. They'll take the impurities off, and then they'll melt it again. Remove the impurities. Guys, if you want to get to a place to where you understand your purpose, there will be refining moments in your life that are going to hurt, melt, pinch, and not be comfortable. And there's old ways that are going to have to be broken off. Pursuit of the discovery of your purpose is an invitation for God to begin to press you. You want to go deeper with your relationship with God? I will be the first to tell you that when you dare to pray that prayer, there will be pressing moments in your life. And those pressing moments will begin to produce understanding and purpose. Hebrews 12 says, "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives." That doesn't sound like rainbows and butterflies to me. So I would ask you this: how long will a purpose that is gained easily last? You see, David and King David, whenever he was going through one of his course correction moments, he was building an altar to make a sacrifice to the Lord. And he was going to build it in this threshing floor. And the man that owned that threshing floor told King David, he said, "Let me just give these things to you." Like, he's the king. He's like, "Man, I want to impress this guy. I want to do stuff to help him." There's people that are going to want to do things to help you along your way. Somebody needs to hear me today. There's some people out there that want to help you, but the reality is that they don't need to. They want to help you, but they don't need to. You see, whenever King David was offered that, this is what he said. He said, "I will surely buy it for the full price, for I will not take what is yours for the Lord, nor offer burnt offerings with that which costs me nothing." Don't cheapen the offering by allowing somebody else to take the pain away from you. Because your offering is precious. If there's something that's genuinely, truly worth something, then the sacrifice for that thing means nothing. If you want to learn your purpose, lean into your pain and ask Jesus to give you understanding. I don't have the answer. Jesus has to give you that answer. Nobody else. Lone Star Cowboy Church cannot give you the answer. Lone Star Cowboy Church cannot give you understanding. Lone Star Cowboy Church cannot give you purpose. Lone Star Cowboy Church cannot give you hope. Lone Star Cowboy Church cannot save your marriage. Lone Star Cowboy Church can't pull you out of addiction. There has never been a person that has stood behind this pulpit right here and spoken words to you that can do anything for you other than point you to Jesus. So my friend, please, please, if you hear nothing else, hear this. Do not point to the church for what Jesus did in your life. Don't cheapen his sacrifice either. Y'all remember the prophet Elijah that was running from Jezebel? He was running and he ran off into the wilderness and he was trying to hear God's voice. He was trying to hear God's voice and there was a mighty rushing wind that came through. And he was listening, but God's voice wasn't in the mighty rushing wind. There was an earthquake, but God's voice wasn't in the earthquake. There was a fire. His voice wasn't in the fire either. But it came in the still, small voice. So what if we could remove the noise of the situation that's going on around us so that we can focus on the understanding that Jesus is trying to reveal to us. If we could focus on his voice. I have a little illustration. Guys, y'all get, kick it up. It sounds really good. These guys are really talented. But what if we began to cut the excess noise out of our lives? What if we cut out the steel? You can still hear, it still sounds good. But there's one less thing. I began to ask myself, what is the driving force behind this band? Well, we just lost the electric guitar. What is the driving force behind this band? And as we try to find the meaning and the purpose of life, and we begin to melt things away, there goes the keys. We start boiling things down to the very bedrock of what this music is. It's still going. There's still driving force behind it. Lost our acoustic, but we still got our bass, we got our drums. These guys, they're the heartbeat. You hear that boom, 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 boom. Man, I love these guys. Yeah, I can still find meaning in that. Oh, I can't find meaning in that anymore. We lost our bass. We still have our drums, though. This guy right here, he can play the fire out of some drums. I can still live my life with purpose as long as I have the... But what you can't hear is there's still music. There's still music. Damien, hit it. That's good. That is called a click track. So look right here in Jesse's ear. Right here in that earbud, playing through that earbud is the click track for that song. The click track is the driving force behind everything that's going on up here on the stage. All of the beauty that we hear in the sound of the music, the worship that we lay out, it all starts with a little bitty click track in his ear. So what if we began to live our life listening to the click track of Jesus in our ear? What if we could put away all the excess? Go ahead. We could begin to bring things back in. These aren't bad things, they're great. But we have our salvation. We get a relationship with Jesus. And then we're able to bring in our base. We begin to meet other people that are believers, and we begin to be encouraged, and then we get some more. Then we're able to learn what worship is. My goodness, if we could learn how to worship and put all of this symphony together. These guys come in, and we begin to understand where this is all coming from. It all starts from the still small voice. And this is what we get to enjoy. Why Jesus? Why his name? Philippians 2:10 says, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Acts 4:12, no other name under heaven by which man must be saved. Whoever receives the child in my name, where two or three are gathered in my name, whoever leaves everything in my name, in my name they will cast out demons. No one who does a miracle in my name can soon speak evil of me. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father be glorified in the Son. So we speak the name of Jesus. If we remove all the excess and the fluff, and we boil it down to the bedrock of what we believe. We believe in the name of Jesus because he is our salvation. He's the one that all of this is built around. Don't mistake the window dressings for your salvation. Don't mistake people up here with beautiful words for your salvation. Don't mistake the instruments for your salvation, because there's but one name. His name is Jesus. It all boils down to Jesus. To the mystery of the gospel. Some of y'all might be saying, that sounds spectacular. I feel some sort of way right now, but I don't know how to put that into practice. I'm kind of hard-headed. I need to see steps. Young, sit down if you can. If you can't, stay standing. You're good. What I would encourage you to do is to find a spot at these altars up here. And let me go ahead and tell you right now, you don't need anybody's permission to come pray at these altars at any point in time. During the worship service, during the sermon, you come down here and you pray if you need to pray. Because we're not here to make anything beautiful. You're not going to interrupt what Jesus is doing in your heart. So if you want some steps, here's what I'll tell you. In the beginning of that psalm, when it talks, when David was saying that how he's surrounded, in verse 3, it says, "But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the one who lifts up my head." You, O Lord, are a shield. Whenever we put on the armor of God, what is it? The shield of what? So if we could but get to a place of faith by raising our shield to get a break. If I raise a shield, it's because I'm trying to get away from whatever's coming at me. Like, I need a break. So I would say, stop. Take a break and have faith in the hope of Jesus. I would communicate with God. Verse 4, I cried out to the Lord with my voice. Put your shield up, cry out to the Lord. Communication, we have to speak with him. And the beautiful thing is, he will prioritize you as you prioritize him. It says, and he heard me from his holy hill. He heard. And then obedience, obey. Verse 5, it says, I lay down and slept. And then I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. If we could but get a break and have faith that Jesus has our back, if we could cry out to him, he will hear us and he will prioritize us. If we could obey and then walk into the place of rest that he has called us to, he will hear us, he will heal us, he will lift up our head. The very last part of Psalm chapter 3, it says, for he is our salvation. You bow your heads with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for who you are. Father, we thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. For giving us the opportunity to come into a relationship with you and then ultimately to spend eternity in your presence. We magnify you, Jesus, for what you did on the cross. For our sins. for the places that separated us from your love. With every head bowed and every eyes closed, for just a second, I would ask you this question. Do you know who Jesus is? Do you have the faith to take a break behind your shield? The thing that's stirring up and tickling the inside of your stomach right now, that's him. If you have never asked Jesus to come into your life and received the gift of salvation, I would love to pray with you and introduce you to him. Simply by raising your hand, say, Caleb, I want to accept Jesus as the Lord of my life. Simply by raising your hand, I want to get to know Jesus. Awesome. So here's what I'm going to ask. Now, this is a really scary thing. But the time of pressing is the time that we lean into, right? So if we're going to do that, we're going to be bold in our movements. So if you raised your hand and you would like to receive the gift of salvation, I would ask you to come up here in front of this whole group of people so we can pray together. Could you do that? Come on. Yes, sir. Come on, baby. It's awesome. What's your name?
Travis.
Caleb. Good to meet you too, man. That's awesome, dude. That's why we're here. That's why I showed up this morning. You know how much I didn't want to come here today? Quite a lot. But I need this like you need that. I can't help but give away what Jesus has given me and what he's fixing to put inside of you and inside of you. So here's what we're going to do. It's as easy as ABC. Admit that you're a sinner. Believe that he died on the cross for our sins and confess him as your Lord and Savior. Amen. So let's pray. And what I want y'all to do, I want y'all to repeat after me. Just say, Dear Lord Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. I confess you as my Lord and Savior. I love you, Jesus. Teach me to love you more. Help me with my purpose. Teach me to understand. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now that's as simple as it is. Not easy. Where we're starting now is the beginning of the road. And it's only going to get harder from here. But the beautiful thing is you don't have to go it alone ever again. Ever again, because Jesus lives in your hearts. It's amazing. See, no habla español muy poquito. That's good. She's got a Google translator on her phone. That's awesome. So, thank you so much for coming up. If you could, run over here to these guys real quick. They want to get some information from you so we can keep in contact with you. We keep rolling. And let me pray over you guys before we dismiss. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this group of people that are here today. Thank you for pressing upon them to show up today. God, thank you for every single person in this room for the understanding of the situation that they're going through and that they might go through in the future and that the purpose that's going to be born out of it on the other side. God, I don't know what that thing is, but I speak the name of Jesus over all of it. God, teach us to cry out to you. And we thank you, Jesus, for everything that you've done and everything that you're going to continue to do. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys are dismissed.